Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Bob contacted me last night, actually, and asked me if I would speak. Me and my wife, we were out at Menards. We were walking around just getting some things before the winter, and we came to the realization that they don't sell plane tickets to Florida at Menards, so we kept going. No, but seriously, yeah, we were out shopping and looked down at my phone, and Pastor Bob had texted me, and he just said, you know, brother, would you speak for me tomorrow night? And, you know, initially I was kind of taken back. You know, normally I kind of need a little bit of time to prepare, you know, and be comfortable with it and everything. And so I didn't give him an answer right away, actually. I just called him, and I said, well, you know, let me be honest with you. Let me kind of do what I feel would be the wise thing here, and let me pray about this. You know, I think a lot of times we as Christians can maybe jump into things that seem good and seem like, hey, this is an opportunity to serve God and serve our brothers and everything. And so I didn't want to do that because I've done that before, and I find that it doesn't always yield, you know, benefit for me or even for the people receiving. So I was like, well, I don't want to act in foolishness and out of impulse or obligation. So I just asked him to give me a little bit of time, you know, just to pray through it. Like I said, we were out and about. I didn't really have a whole lot of time to seek the Lord on it and see what he wanted to speak through me, if he wanted to speak through me. And so we kind of finished up doing what we were doing, me and my wife, and the whole time, you know, I'm praying and I'm talking to God, you know, simultaneously. I'm just communicating with the Lord, like, okay, God, is this, you know, is there a message that you have that you want to speak to your people? And if so, what is it? Or maybe I should pass this up or what, you know? And I'm just kind of processing this with the Lord. And, you know, I'm patiently waiting on his response. And so we get home and I get out of the truck and I'm you know, just kind of pacing around. I didn't want to take too long. I knew that Pastor Bob needed to figure something out in a sense. And so I really just wanted to be able to give him an answer. So I'm praying, you know, Lord, is this an opportunity that you're trying to give me? I know that you're wanting to grow me in this. And I know that, you know, there's a good opportunity to step out of my comfort zone and all that good stuff. And I'm praying. And my wife, she goes to the mailbox and she gets the mail and she goes inside, and I'm just guessing she opens up the mail, and we get a bill from Comcast, and she comes outside a few minutes later, and she shows me the bill, and it's for $150. We have wireless internet, which normally is $30 a month. Well, here's this bill for $150, and you know, we're both like, wow, you know, what's the deal here? You know, we weren't late that we knew of, and so what's going on? So we called and talked to one of the representatives there, and they informed us that when we signed up on the Comcast data plan, that we were signing into a promotional deal, you know, $30 a month for the first year. So it went on, and we lost track of time. I'm not even sure if we knew that we were on a promotional deal. I'm not sure how well they informed us of that. Next thing you know, that year's come and gone, and we're at $80 a month, and they charge 2 months up front or something like that. And so, you know, I'm the type of person, I look for God in everything. I really try my best. I believe that the Lord can be seen in every circumstance. And so, you know, as this lady over the phone's telling me this, you know, my mind's racing. I'm really trying not to put a whole lot of attention into it initially, but then as she's telling me this, my focus kind of shifts, and then I realize, you know, kind of something that the Lord's been speaking to me for a long time is, you know, it's an obvious, very kind of basic thing, but it's not always that easy to achieve, but it's complete and total surrender to him and complete and total, you know, focus on him and intimacy with him. And that's something he's been encouraging me and my wife in specifically for the last year and a half, and then even longer than that too, of course. But we've known and we've wanted and been trying to get on that path of just becoming one track minded on the Lord, you know, specifically, I would say, for about the past year and a half. And I'm sure there's some people who can relate. But one of the things that kind of can get in the way of that from time to time is, you know, this thing here, or even, you know, the television, or, you know, wireless internet, having that at home. You know, so this lady, she's telling me how our bill's going to go up to $80 a month. And in my head, I'm thinking, well, we're not going to pay that. You know, I know we can't, we don't want to pay that. So I'm thinking, here's an opportunity from God. God's, in a sense, he's reaching out his hand to us, and he is, you know, giving us an opportunity to have this distraction removed from us when maybe we didn't have the strength to do it in our own, you know, and I saw that as God's grace, you know, helping us, giving us something that we don't deserve, or maybe we're not willing or able to reach out for whatever reason and do on our own. And so, yeah, I'm processing all that as she's talking, and, you know, all that's kind of going through my head, and it's clear to me. So we get off the phone, and I look over to my wife, and I say, well, you know, here's a good opportunity. You know, we can get rid of the TV. We can get rid of, you know, all, you know, this distraction in our life. Having wireless internet at our house is going to be a catalyst, and it may help us. And, you know, she didn't really hesitate. And her response was, no, I don't think that's what the Lord's trying to say. And so I'm like, oh, man, you know, I didn't respond to that. But in my head, I'm thinking, can't you see? You know, like, this is obvious, you know. God's trying to give us an opportunity to rid these distractions of our lives. And here you are not trusting me. And, you know, in my head, I'm kind of like, kind of fighting it. And honestly, at that moment, I thought to myself, man, she sure is. I love you, by the way. But she sure was at that time kind of making me realize how Adam felt about Eve over that apple, you know what I mean? God gives a direction, and then here comes Eve, or, you know, and some people could probably debate that. No, but you know, there's a lot more to that, and actually God did a lot through that, and she was very obedient. No, so it was just kind of a neat little experience to go through. So, you know, we didn't see eye to eye initially in that moment. And I got up, you know, and I kind of transitioned my focus back, you know, because I'm still processing whether or not I'm going to preach tonight. And that was heavy enough on my mind, you know, with not much time to prepare and all. So I get up and I walk back out, and we're outside, and I'm just kind of walking around, and I began to sing this song. It's a song that I wrote. It's not much. It's actually just like a verse. It's a verse that I wrote one time when I found myself in desperate need of the Lord. And the verse just simply goes, I'm depending on you, Lord. Let me hear your voice. I'm depending on you, Lord. Cover all the noise. I need you now. And so, you know, I'm seeking answers from the Lord. And I began to sing that song. And as soon as, I mean, I didn't even get the first half of the verse out. I just said, I'm depending on you, Lord. And in that moment, he knew my heart, and he knew where I was going with that. And he knew that I was seeking an answer from him with that. And I just said, I'm depending on you, Lord. And in that moment, Arlette comes walking back outside. And she's holding the bill. And she says, I'm going to do it. And I said, what? She said, I'm going to sacrifice it to Jesus. And I said, that's awesome. Well, guess what? Well, I'm going to do it too. And she's like, what? And I said, I'm going to preach tomorrow night. And so it was just really awesome, you know, how God kind of used that whole circumstance. You know, two people who found themselves, well, and I want to go back and say, too, she had great justifications and reasons why she didn't want to give up the wireless internet. Her family's in Guatemala. My family's in Texas. We use it a lot of times to Skype back and forth, you know. So she had good reason in her thinking and all. But I'm guessing, you know, she went back inside, and instead of answering within herself, she chose to seek the Lord and say, okay, Lord, you know, this is how I feel about it. But ultimately, what do you want from this? You know, I'm guessing she said, my husband's got this certain feeling. And so I might try to trust that a little bit, but ultimately I'm going to seek you in it and see what you have to say through it. And I believe that the Lord spoke to her and said, here's a good opportunity. And she said yes. And upon her yes, she came out and she shared her yes with me. And it gave me the strength. And not only did it give me the strength, but it just opened my eyes to the fact that, yes, this is God. So, okay, this is God, and it's not necessarily ideal for me in my comfort zone. It's not ideal being so short-term and not really having a clue. But you know what? Her yes generated a yes to the Lord within me. And so I really love that. And it was funny, too, because beyond our yeses, we were outside. She said yes. I said yes. We literally high-fived. And then the strangest thing, we've got two black walnut trees in our backyard. And we just go, and we just start picking black walnuts up out of the grass. You know, and that seems probably irrelevant. But when I look at it now, I see this. What I see from that is, she was struggling with a certain situation. I was struggling with a certain situation. We were struggling in a sense out of fear, because I had a fear of, you know, what the outcome was going to be of this. And she had a fear of what is she going to have to give up. And the enemy, I believe, was the one who, he wants to put those fears in us to keep us from not just hearing the word of the Lord, but being obedient to the word of the Lord. So we have these fears, these anxieties that come within us. But when we say yes to the Lord, the awesome thing about that is that upon our yes, upon our obedience to Him, He takes us into a place that we never expected. He takes us into a place of freedom and joy and peace and happiness that we weren't even looking at, because we were looking at the fear. We were looking at, you know, what am I going to have to give up in order to do this? And God's saying, you know, if you'll just trust me enough just to say yes to me, then I'll take you the rest of the way. And so we really got to experience that, you know. And like I said, maybe it seems simple and small, but looking back now, it's like we've never gone back there and just picked up black walnuts, you know. But that's kind of cool. I mean, as a Christian, I don't go out and get high anymore. I did once. I found that entertaining and satisfying to some degree, although it wasn't, you know. But just to be able to follow Christ now and to be content and be satisfied in the smallest of things, you know, I look at that now, and I don't know about you, but that's amazing to me. And you know, really, it's a story of intimacy. And ultimately, through all of that, my eyes were opened, and I said, man, God wants to use this. God wants to use this story. I was in confusion, and I was unsure, but then God came along, and He placed something in my lap that I'm going to now be able to use to give Him glory and, you know, to show His love and to bring across His purpose. And so it was kind of all meant to be. You know, it was meant to be. It was God's plan. It was His perfect timing. And it was just really good, you know. But that was a story of intimacy. And like I said, that's what God's been calling me and my wife to specifically for about the past year and a half. But I can't say that I necessarily always answer that call on time. But I can say that it's the desire of my heart to answer the call. And there are times where I need God's grace, just like, you know, in the situation with the TV. That was a distraction in my life. And God said, well, I'm going to help you, and I'm going to raise the bill up, and I'm going to do this. Once again, I believe God has control. I mean, I look for God in everything. And so when that began to unveil itself to me, I began to see God in it. And that was God's grace reaching out to me. Earlier that night, I don't even know how we got off on it, me and my wife, but we had just kind of, we were going back and forth from God's grace to His mercy, you know. And what's the difference between God's grace and what's the difference in God's mercy? And we were just kind of bouncing off each, you know, back and forth off of each other. And I would say that probably the basic definition of it is God's grace is when He extends His hand to you in a time where you don't necessarily deserve his extended hand. And then in the opposite, mercy would be is when he delivers you or doesn't give you the results of possibly what we ultimately deserve. And I would think the ultimate way of looking at that is we deserve hell. You know, but God's mercy saved us, and he's extended his hand in grace and allowed us salvation. So we were just going back and forth in that. You know, and God's intimacy, just to be intimate with him, just to seek him, you know, like in that situation. That intimacy came when we decided not to, and I'm not saying all this, I don't want y'all to think I'm saying all this to puff us up. I'm saying this because this is the circumstance that God gave me to be able to share with you guys, just as kind of an overall image to give you. And this isn't about me, actually. You know, this is actually about just us coming to a place in our walk with Christ where we seek him in a way that is intimate, and it is seeking him out in everything and every answer. You know, we seek him out and we ask him ultimately, Lord, what do you want from this? You know, I got my desires over here and I've got my reasons, and they might even be good, and my justifications might even make sense to most. But ultimately, Father, what is your direction on this? And to hear him and to seek him and then to follow him. And I'm learning that's a big part of what being intimate with the Lord is. And so that's the journey that we're on right now. I want to share a little thing that happened with me yesterday. A guy came in. I work with Teen Challenge, and we had a guy. He came into the classroom yesterday when nobody else was around, and he sat down in front of me and he said, "Josh, you know, I want to tell you something." He said, "I just want to be honest with you. You know, I'm really thinking about leaving." I said, "Okay." I said, "What's going on?" You know, and he began to kind of explain himself, and he had some good reasoning. You know, he had some great reasoning from a world's perspective. He had a good job waiting on him. There was a great job that he had established, and, you know, it was waiting on him. It took him like 2 years to get to this place of employment with this company, and, you know, that was waiting, and if he stayed in Teen Challenge, he wasn't going to have that when he got out. He had a wife out there who he wasn't quite sure where the relationship stood at this point. You know, he had been involved in some tough things, and so she was kind of, you know, not quite on board with the situation at the time. And so he had that to think about, and he also had some kids out there. You know, and so he's sharing all this with me, and I'm just sympathizing with him because I can't really claim to understand that I know where he's at. And the whole time, you know, and this is something that I've really gotten into a habit of doing because I get to interact with guys one-on-one on a daily basis. And when somebody comes to me and they say, "Hey, I need to tell you something," or "I need some direction," they don't know this, they will now. But, man, my first response inside of me, I begin praying. I begin saying, "Holy Spirit, you know, I don't have an answer for these guys, but you do, and so whatever it is that you want to reveal to these guys, you know, speak it through me." And I don't want to speak within my own self, and I'm just praying. So this guy is speaking, and I'm praying inside, and he doesn't really know it, and I'm kind of multitasking, you know, and I didn't really get a clear word. You know, I kind of gave a lot of the, I guess I'll call them, pat answers for Teen Challenge. Although they're great, you know, I mean, they are true, you know, but there's just a sense of, you know, stick it out, man. There's good things in store for you. You know, God's got a plan for your life. You know, a lot of these things that they're very true. And if we could take them to heart and really go with them, we would probably see an amazing amount of power come out of these very seemingly simple answers. But, you know, we don't always do that. A lot of times we have to have profound answers to really receive it and go with it. So I'm just kind of giving him some of those, what was coming to my heart. You know, it was true from my heart. And I'm waiting, and there was even a time where I began to feel anxious because, You know, he had just said he wasn't saved. He had just said that there were some things going on in his life. And I'm thinking, man, here's my opportunity. I need to open up the door, and I need to invite him into salvation and everything like that. But I just felt the Holy Spirit just saying, just wait. You know, because you can walk them through this. But ultimately, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying this. Ultimately, to find the true heart, the seeking after Jesus, they're going to come to you and they're going to say, I need Jesus. And so I was just being patient, and I was going to let him really be the one to open that door. And then I felt the Holy Spirit give me a word to speak to him. And this guy, when he came in, man, he was stricken with anxiety. You could tell it was all over his face. He was stricken with worry. He, from his own words, he said he felt backed into a corner and he just didn't know what to do. You know, and he had some legitimate justifications out there. And, you know, backed into a corner, anxiety stricken. And when the Holy Spirit gave me that word to speak to him, I just spoke it. You know, I was like, okay, you know, this is it. I've said a lot of good things to this point, but this is actually why we're here. And this is what the Holy Spirit wants to say to this brother. And so I began to speak it. And as I began to speak it, you could just see it lift off of him. I mean, actually, literally, he began to do this. So he was sitting there and he was just had this look on his face and he was just kind of angry even, and he didn't know where to go and he didn't know what to do. And then the Holy Spirit spoke and he just went, and you could just see it lift off of him. It was awesome. I mean, I was like, I don't know if I'd ever experienced anything like that before. To be patient and to wait on the Holy Spirit, I mean, that should be something that we practice daily, right? But a lot of times when we're moving in ourselves, we try to bring the answers and this and that. But I can honestly say I was intentional about waiting on the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit spoke, you could see it lift off of him. He immediately gained freedom. You could see it. It lift from his eyes. He had a glow in his eyes all of a sudden. I asked him, have you been saved? And he said, no. I said, well, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then you are saved. So do you believe in your heart? And he said, yes. And I said, well, then confess it with your mouth. And he said, Jesus is Lord. And, you know, I mean, it was just this awesome moment. It really was. And I left there encouraged. I mean, I was filled. I was filled through that whole thing as he began going, I mean, I felt the Holy Spirit come in, you know, and the Holy Spirit began to just take me over. And he left the room and I got on my knees. And, you know, he didn't even know that. But I was taken over by the Holy Spirit too. Here's the thing. He left 4 hours later. And when I heard that he left, I was just like, wait a second. Wait a second. That ain't right. He just got a word from the Lord. He just got touched. He just got healed. He just had demons cast out of him. And he left 4 hours later. It's like, at that point, I was expecting he was going to be a Teen Challenge graduate and a minister of the word, you know, and I'm kind of, that's not what happened. And later on that night, as I began to evaluate that, it just really kind of teamed along with what the Lord had already been speaking to me all day long that day, which is, there's power in our yes to the Lord. Me and my wife experienced that morning or that afternoon. She said yes to the Lord on a situation that she was dealing with. That power transferred into my life, and it allowed me to say yes to a situation of God's grace and God reaching out his hand. This young man received a touch from the Lord, and it was sincere. And even on the way home, I remember thinking, well, I wonder if it was sincere. And I just remember God saying, that was sincere. That was sincere. You can't doubt that. Do not doubt the works of the Lord. That was sincere. And I remember thinking about that, and the Lord said, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he just began to back that up with a few different verses. The enemy, the devil, he's roaring roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In the story of Cain and Abel, where the Lord spoke to Cain, I think, and in a roundabout way, he said, "Be careful, Cain, because the enemy, the devil, is crouching right behind the door, and he's just waiting for you to open it up, and he's going to hit you." And that's paraphrased, but that's what he said. And so it made me think, man, like, what's this all about? So in other words, is this like a one-time decision? And he took me to a passage of Scripture this morning, and I didn't get any of my Scriptures to her, but that's okay. And the passage is Luke 9:23. It says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And that was it. That was the overall purpose that the Lord was speaking at that moment is, you know, I will touch you. I will fill you. I will release you. I will deliver you as often as you say yes to me. I will say yes to you. But unfortunately, this isn't a one-time decision. This is a daily thing. In our brother experience, this is an hourly thing. In the sense of, Christ is calling us to a relationship of intimacy with Him. He's calling us to a relationship of being sold out to Him, of giving up everything for the sake of following Jesus Christ. And that takes dying to self daily. And I thank God for His grace. And He sees our heart. And I thank God that He sees our heart. I thank God that He sees my heart, because I don't know how often I find myself stuck in a rut or caught in fear and seemingly unable to be released of the situation that I'm in. And God knows that it's not because I don't want to, because I want it. Last Friday, one of our other staff members there, Eric Swanson, he is an anointed speaker of the word, and he said something, and I don't know if I caught anything else, but I caught this. He said, there's people who want Jesus, and there's people who need Jesus. And the people who need Jesus, they get Jesus. And it took me a minute to kind of process that, like, well, I know me, and I want Jesus. But I also know me, and as much as I want Jesus, I need a ton of His grace. Because if it were left to me to consistently always walk in and fulfill the plan that I feel that He's placing in front of me, man, He's been telling me to get rid of the TV for a long time now. You know, and it finally took Him saying, well, Josh, I see your heart, son, and I love you. And it brings Him joy to know that I'm trying. I am God, I'm trying. But I need your help. And I need your help. And I continued to kind of look into that want, need. And God revealed to me, need is desperate. Need is desperate. Lord, I'm nothing without you. And I mean that. Like, I can't even take another step without you, God. I need you. I need you in my life. I've been going my own way for far too long. I don't just want you anymore. I need you. And that's intimacy with the Lord. And that's what he's calling us to. And that's what he's calling me to. And honestly, that's the reason. And I'm just going to say this. It's not important in a sense. That's the reason me and my wife are here at Voice Ministries. Because the message coming from behind this pulpit, week after week after week after day after service after week after day after service, it's the same message. It's the same message. And I remember when we first got here, I remember thinking, you know, I don't, like, maybe we could go somewhere else and find somewhere that'll give us like a, you know, a 6-week lesson plan on how to develop your marriage, you know, something like that. You know, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But the message that's being spoken from this pulpit consistently, and I know, is dependence on the Lord. It's intimacy with the Lord, relationship with the Lord, 100% complete, sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was listening the other day to Jonathan Kahn, the prophet. And I'll be honest with you, I just feel privileged. I look at him and I'm like, wow, you know, we're looking at a modern day Jeremiah in a sense. You know, that's unimportant. But I was listening to Jonathan Kahn, the Jewish prophet, and he was warning the people, man. He was warning. And he ended it with something along the lines of this. Once again, he was talking to the people, and he was, you know, warning that the way that the route in which America is going right now is away from the Lord. And you know, we were a country founded on not just biblical principles, but we were a country founded on Jesus Christ, I believe, honestly. And now we are not that. And he was warning and he was encouraging. And at the end, he finished it up with saying, God is, he's pretty much what he said is he's roaming around this crowd right now. And God's looking at your heart, and he's looking at your heart, and he's looking at your heart, and he's looking at my heart, and he's looking at her heart, and he's looking. God's not just walking around oblivious to his people. But he's walking around, and he's looking for the one whose heart is set on him, and only him. Him and only him. One thing, one focus, one purpose, and that is to walk with Jesus. That is to do the will of the Father. And that's it. I'll be honest, I can't relate to that. I mean, I have moments where I can relate to that. And this far in my life, they're just moments. But it broke my heart. And it challenged me. And it encouraged me too to know that God is placing all the resources. God is placing the word. He's placing the message. He's placing the people. He is consistent in reaching out his hand to me. And the fact that, man, I'm on a journey, and you know what? I am more sold out to the Lord today than I was yesterday. And so praise God for that. And there's some people who would probably say, well, we'll never reach that point. You know, I'm not going to settle for that, but I do understand that too. I'm trying to get to that point. I'm trying to get to that point where I'm sold out to him and only him. Is it working? Like I said, sometimes I feel like it is. And then a lot of times I see my heart and I see myself and I see how I'm distracted by this over here and I see how I'm distracted by that over there. But the Lord sees my heart and the Lord sees that I love him. And so that's my encouragement today, is that that's the message, is that we are to be a people sold out. I guess really what I want to do is I just want to fall in suit really with what this house stands for. I don't want to come up here and speak something different. I want to continue to speak what this house is established to speak, and that is that Jesus Christ is calling his people to become sold out individuals for one purpose, and that is to do the will of the Father. And here's the thing. Man, the enemy, once again, I already said this, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so when we get it in our head and we begin to seek after the Lord, and we began to try to make these steps in the Lord and commit to surrender to the Lord and all these things, you better believe the enemy is right there. And the enemy's doing what he can to convince you of all the reasons why you shouldn't do it. Oh man, if you do that, you're going to have to give this up. What about this over here? You're not going to be able to listen to this music. You're not going to be able to go out to this place on the weekend. You're not going to be able to do this. You're going to have to quit smoking cigarettes. You're going to have to do all these things. You're going to have to. So don't. Just don't. Just stay comfortable. Just stay comfortable doing what you're doing. And don't do that thing. Don't surrender fully to the Lord. Don't you realize what you're going to have to give up? But what we don't see is the fact that at the other end of our yes to Jesus, he's got awesome plans like going and picking up black walnuts out of the backyard. You know? He's got awesome plans like lifting the anxiety and the fear and feeling backed into a corner. He's got awesome plans like that. And he's not asking us to have it all figured out. What he is asking of us, though, is that we would say yes to him. And that we would continue to say yes to him. And that as we continue to say yes to him through faith, because if we don't know this, we serve an awesome God. How is it that the enemy has come in and convinced us that we shouldn't serve this great God? He's convinced us that, like I said, in order to do that, all these negative things come from it. How is it that he's done that? Can't we look at the stories? Can't we look at what he's done in our life and establish that if we would just say yes to him, he's got great things in store for us. I can't give you one account. I can't share with you one story where I've said yes to Jesus and been unfulfilled. Actually, I can tell you a ton of stories where the Lord is speaking, and me, in my selfishness and in my way, I justifyingly, with all kinds of good intentions and all kinds of good reasons that make sense and seem logical, and if I were to tell you, you'd say, oh man, you're okay, just do your thing. And turn from his voice and not follow that direction, and find myself empty, and find myself unfulfilled, and wanting more. But I can't tell you one story where I've sat down early in the morning, where I've woken up a little early, and grabbed the Bible, not out of obligation, but out of faith, and trust in the Lord that he's got something for me, and out of wanting to be intimate with him, and wanting to know him and know his ways and know his character. Wake up early in the morning and sit down with him and commune with him and relate with him and get to know him. Oh my goodness. What's wrong with me that I don't do that every day? I don't understand it. Because he fulfills every time. Every time. I want to read a passage. I want to read this John 4, verse 13 through 15. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." That's the plan that the Father has for us, that we would put down the water that is unsatisfying, that is unfulfilling, that leaves us parched and withered, and pick up the water that fills our soul and become a wellspring of life, pouring over, pouring out onto the next man like my wife did with me. Her yes to Jesus opened my eyes to my yes to Jesus. And as we drink from the living water, man, he wells up within us and we overflow with satisfaction, with love, with all the fruits of him. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, I can name them all. That's what comes when we seek the Lord. And kind of my final thing, you know, there's things that keep us from that. I'm a firm believer, especially being at Teen Challenge. You know, we get to deal with guys from ground zero, and we have to help coach them from nothing, in a sense, a lot of times. You know, nothing can mean different things. We got guys who come in here and they didn't grow up in a family that went to church, and they don't know John 3:16, and you know, we get to coach them from that nothing, or we get to coach them from a nothing of, you know, just their spiritual walk or their understanding. And I'm a firm believer that in order to, because I saw it in my life, and this is why, because I saw it in my life, and in order to help get people back up on their feet and going again, one of the foundational things that you have to establish is why. Not why should you get back up on your feet, but why are you going through what you're going through? You know, and not just why, but, you know, what did you do to allow this into your life? Let's go back. Let's go back. Let's cut off some curses. You know, and so why? And so I think tonight, God is calling his people to a deep and intimate relationship with him. And praise the Lord, I believe that the majority of us in here are on that journey, and we're struggling from day to day. And there's times where we have victories, and there's times where, you know, we feel set free and we're walking. And there's other days where we're like, man, I'm defeated today. And, you know, I don't know why. I couldn't really even tell you. I'm just not feeling it, you know. And that's the up and down, and that's the walk with Christ. And that's good. I like that, personally. I don't like that you suffer. I don't like that I suffer. But, man, I do understand when James says, count it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work, making you mature and complete, not lacking anything. And so, with that being said, I have learned, in a sense, there's something deep inside of me, and it's the Holy Spirit, and it's Jesus within me. There's something deep inside of me that has joy in the midst of turmoil, because I know that it's developing something greater in me. And so we've talked about a bunch of things. The why, that's kind of what I'm trying to get to now, is I want to establish, because we're a people, and we're striving, and we're struggling for Christ. Amen. Amen. And all those things. We have to realize the tactics of the enemy. We have to realize the tactics of the enemy. He approaches us with fear. And he approaches us with confusion. He approaches us with justification. I believe that there's some people in here, and I think this is kind of where I'm trying to get. I think there's a specific word that needs to go forth right now. And I think that there's some people in here right now who are bound by fear, who are bound by disappointment, And it's the fear and it's the disappointment that's keeping us from moving forward. Because what's happened is that the enemy, he's come in, he's planted a seed in your head, and we've taken it, and we've run with it, and we believe it, and we see it, and we agree with it, and we're sold. Hook, line, and sinker. And so what does that do to us as people who are on a journey to get closer to the Lord? It makes us sit still. It makes us paralyzed. Or even if not that, it taking a step backwards, stuck in our ways. Not just ways of sin, but maybe just being defeated. Man, God did not die on the cross for us so that we could walk around defeated. He wants us to understand who we are. I've had two visions just within the past month of God trying to reveal to me who I am in Him. Because, guys, I'm one of those from time to time. I can walk around defeated. And the guys have heard me say this. I can walk around defeated because I see me. You know what I mean? I see me. The things that you don't see, I see me. And so I allow the enemy, he capitalizes on that. And you better believe he's going to capitalize on that. He's going to come in and he's going to hammer it and he's going to nail it and he's going to convince you that that's who you are. But if you're a child of God, that is not who you are. And to be free from that is to be closer to intimacy with the Lord. And there's people in here today, I believe, that are allowing fear to keep them where they're at, to keep them defeated. And I believe that the Lord wants to deliver some people from that today. I know that He does. He doesn't want us to continue to walk in it. And so I want to stretch my hand out to whoever you may be and said, if you're stricken by fear, if you're stricken by confusion, or if you're stricken by who you think you are, God wants to deliver you of that today. God wants to give you a revelation of who you are in Him. Because that's how He sees us. God sees us of who we are in Him. I was getting to a point earlier and I got excited and I got off of it. God showed me two times in the past month. I believe He's trying to show me who I am in Him. Because there's times where I walk around and I don't know who I am in Him. And the first time what I saw, I was struggling. And God gives me visions like right in the in-between state of being awake and being asleep. You know, I can be praying or something, and I'll be like, you know that part where you just kind of doze off real quick? God speaks to me a lot right there. And I'm so thankful. Thank you, Jesus. That is an awesome, it's blessed my heart. And the first time what I saw is I saw this funnel. And the funnel, like if this is me, and kind of the vision, I had my eyes closed, and kind of the vision was coming out. It was looking, you know, it was out here, and it was coming back this way. This funnel was coming back this way. And in the funnel was the word in block lettering. I clearly remember, and it said fear. And pretty much what that was is that was what was over my life at that time, was fear. And I remember I'd been praying to be delivered of this and that and the struggles that I was going through. And what I saw on the other end of that funnel, it was like a guy was holding up, you know, those things that cheerleaders use? A megaphone. It was like he was holding up a megaphone and the word fear was inside. And he said, "Go in the name of Jesus." And the guy that I saw was me. But he was a warrior. I mean, he was jacked. He had his shirt off. He was jacked. He was stacked. And I knew that was God showing me who I am when I choose to stand up and not take this stuff. I'm not going to take this stuff. I'm a child of the one true King. I don't have to. I've been delivered. I've been set free. My heart is for Jesus. I'm not going to stand under the enemy's condemnation any longer. And he showed me that. And I woke up and I was refreshed and I was like, yeah, I'm a warrior, you know? And it was awesome. And then just last night, he showed me again. And I don't know the full meaning of it. Like I said, God's given me a lot of visions. And so I kind of look deep into them and really try to figure out. I believe that in every little detail of a vision given by God, that there's something there. So I don't know the full meaning of it, but what I did see last night was a black-faced lion. I'm praying, and I'm preparing for this message, and then all of a sudden I just see two big wide eyes and a big old face and a big old mane, and it was just like, rah. And I'm not lying to you, and this is kind of embarrassing, but I just felt the Lord say, I want you to roar. And I roared right there, you know? I did. You know, and that's God trying to reveal to me who I am in Him. And when we have this understanding of who we are in Him, it does a lot of things for us. It allows us to be free. And I think that's the ultimate thing that it does for us, is it allows freedom in our lives to walk and to move and to be who He's created us to be. Because if we're not free, we're not being who He's created us to be. But if we're free, then, hey, there's a great foundation, and then from there I'm going to take it. And so that's what the Lord has given me. Could I get a bottle of water? Anybody, just a swig, just something. Thank you. And also, I'm going to sing a song. And in this time of singing, this isn't a time where Josh is soloing and y'all are listening to Josh. Because that would not be purposeful at all. Excuse me. But as I sing this, I just want to encourage us as a body. You are my family. You are my brothers and my sisters. And I want us to come together in this time and cast down the lies of the enemy and begin to pursue this relationship of intimacy and being sold out for Jesus. So I'm going to pick up the guitar. We're going to do this as I do this. Thank you. Ask and you shall receive. Double portion. So y'all just join with me on this. I just want to invite right now, I'm just going to pray before we do this. Lord, I just thank you. God, first of all, I just thank you for your word. I just thank you for your revelations. I just thank you for your visions, God, that you choose to bless us with. You choose to allow us to just have these. Unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, until all my fears are gone. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, until all my fears are gone. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Your love has called my name, and I've been born again,
and to your family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. So I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God, and you split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. And you unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, until all my fears are gone, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name, and I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.